You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Pardon the interruption. This might be important.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent. We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best man. With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan.
It's a plan. It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike and Eric.
What a bunch of losers.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what we need.
Shoot up. I'm bringing the party to you.
I have indeed been uploaded, sir. We're online and ready.
And welcome back to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. I hope everyone enjoyed last week's issue with Mr. Jason Aaron. But before
I know we did.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, that voice you just heard is my partner in crime, or partner
in crime fighting.
In crime fighting here in the
secret lair. We are definitely the hero side of things.
This week we are.
This week.
Yeah.
Hey, what you do on your own time, dude, is up to you.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra! I'm freaking heroic every day.
Of course, that is Eric Allen. It's funny. We just had Jason on last week, and this week's episode of Big Bang Theory, one of the scenes they bring up as a topic of discussion, Marvel making Thor a female, and is it because of gender equality? I couldn't laugh any harder.
And of course, we know the truth about that, but it's basically because, you know, this writer goop thought it would be cool.
Change it up. But the thing that irked me was that they still treated it, these guys are supposed to be comic book nerds as well, and they treated it like it's never happened before. And of course, we've talked about it has happened
Yes,
before.
We have. There's been at least two women that I can think of that have become Thor, or at least the equivalent of Thor.
Would one of those be Wonder Woman?
Okay, three. I was not counting Wonder Woman, but yes, now that you bring her up in the Marvel versus DC crossover event. Yeah. And dang, she looked good, has it?
Yeah, and of course, when she became Thor, it's kind of sounded a little like this. Okay, maybe a little like...
You've been holding out on me with that.
The little stingers from the series.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know what? Linda Carter may be getting some years on her, but man, she still looks so smoking hot.
Yeah, I say that about Erin Gray as well.
Oh, yes, I would say that about Erin Gray.
So, anyhow, back on track. It was cool hearing Jason. Well, they didn't mention Jason by name. They mentioned the company by name. Mm-hmm. But, you know, of course, Marvel was in the news earlier this week with Marvel Studios. And that's right, I said studios, not Marvel, but Marvel Studios will not be dominating Hall H this year at San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, its absence will be dominating.
Yeah. And during an impromptu Q&A session with James Gunn, it was revealed that Marvel Studios is skipping it this year. Gunn asked if he would be attending the convention. He responded, if Marvel's not going to be there, I'm not sure I will either. Now, this does not mean Marvel Entertainment, being the comics, being the cartoon series, you know, the TV side of things, mm-hmm. might not be there. Well, now, Marvel Studios controls Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter as well, mm-hmm. and I'm assuming the cartoons. So, Marvel Animation might be there, mm-hmm. but we know the comic books will be.
He said Marvel, and it's reasonable to believe that he's talking about Marvel Studios.
Right.
The movies. Now, the other component... I'm sorry. You cannot sell me. Shakespeare himself is not capable of crafting a story that I'm going to believe of Marvel completely dissing the con altogether.
True.
I mean, Marvel is going to be there in some form or fashion. It probably will not be. It may not be the one that Gunn works for specifically.
Right. Well, movie-wise, what realistically could they bring to the show that could do anything? It'd be Captain America, because Ant-Man's will be already in the theaters.
Yeah.
Essentially, quote-unquote, Avengers has come and gone. I'll still probably be in the theaters as well. 3 months? It might be on the outs. Just depends on numbers.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm scared about the longevity of Age of Ultron, and that's mainly just because you're going to have so many people rushing to see it on the first weekend.
Right.
It's going mark it here first. It's going to set a box office record.
Oh yeah.
For opening weekend.
Oh yeah. Until December.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, what big thing could they bring to the table? Captain America 3, because that's the only thing that goes to film, what'd they say, April, May? What's that?
Something like that.
And we're talking July, so 2 months worth of material. You know, all you're going to get is maybe a clean dailies put together.
Yeah. Something tells me they're going to be making an appearance elsewhere later on.
I think so. The rumors, the guesses is D23, which is August.
Now, you think that you're not going to... I don't know what the attendance has been for D23. And for those of you who don't know, if you're listening to this, especially if you're listening to the podcast version, D23 is the Disney company's quote-unquote official fan club.
Right.
It is... It is not the cheapest fan club to get into, but you have a strong showing from it. The past few D23 expos, you know, basically it's a Disney con is what it is.
Right.
Would you agree with me on that one?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. It's had a very strong Disney focus. It's been almost exclusively Disney for the past few.
Disney properties, yeah.
Yeah, Disney properties. I don't recall Marvel Studios ever having been part of it. I am not a D23 member, which I think that point may be obvious right now, but...
I want to say S.H.I.E.L.D. was a part of it 2 years ago, because that was right before the S.H.I.E.L.D. launch.
Okay, TV.
TV-wise.
TV-wise. I'm talking movie-wise.
I don't know, but things could be changing.
It could be. Just if they have something that they really want to drop big on people, like, I don't know, when, you know, Bob Iger and the shareholder meeting Thursday, okay, today, day of our recording.
Right.
Saying, oh, well, this is the release date for Episode 8, or this is going to be what our first spinoff Star Wars movie is going to be about.
Star Wars Rogue One.
Yeah.
And we can say that because chances are there's going to be a movie adaptation from Marvel.
Awesome. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. True. I'm just saying if they have something big to unleash, yes, that's the con is normally a place to do it, but you think you're not going to have some like freaked out Disney nuts at D23 if they drop a bomb there?
I'm expecting it. I really am.
Okay.
I think if we hear that they were not at San Diego, then I would almost put money on it that they're going to be at D23. Now, am I going to put SEC winning the bowl money on it? Not after last year's performance with the SEC.
Oh, no.
But.
Are we back to the SEC now?
No. Just okay. Long enough for that.
Okay.
But
if you missed last week's show, there was some SEC football talk because Jason Aaron, our guest, he's originally from the state of Alabama, as am I. And unfortunately, you know, he just chooses to cheer for the wrong side.
But hey, at least the SEC West was well represented.
There you go.
So, well, I have to see. You know, we're talking first, you know, July 9th through 12th is San Diego Comic Con. Let's see what happens in 3 months. Well, 4 months.
Well, I tell you what happens in less than 2 months. Of course, be Age of Ultron. Okay. And we know that we've got Captain America, Iron Man, Black Panther, Falcon, the Winter Soldier, Black Widow. We assume Spider-Man. And Cinemablend.com says likely Crossbones as one of the villains.
I would say with the acting note or audition notice we gave 2 weeks ago, Crossbones is in it.
Okay, there you go. Okay, now we have. Well, I'll tell you what does happen in less than 2 months from now, and that, of course, would be Avengers: Age of Ultron. But after that, like we said, Captain America: Civil War would be the next great thing on the horizon. That is slated for a mid-2016 release. We don't know who all is going to be in it. We know some. We know Captain America. We know Iron Man. We know Black Panther, Falcon, Winter Soldier, Black Widow, and likely Crossbones as the villain. But as we have discussed here on the show earlier, the consensus is becoming that Spider-Man is going to make his appearance in this movie. So that's going to be the crux of the whole Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe deal. Well, thanks to the website THR, we know that Hawkeye has also been confirmed to be in Civil War. Which, of course, we were wondering in Winter Soldier, where was he? I mean, we had Captain America working for S.H.I.E.L.D., we had Black Widow working for S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, was he stuck in Budapest or something again? We didn't know.
Right.
But now he is going to be back. It's not all that shocking, really, because you probably figure that, yes, they figured we didn't know where he was. So let's answer that. So I'm looking forward to this. Now the question is, of course, you know, the whole plot point is, you know, the we can't really call it Mutant Registration Act. The Superhero Registration Act. You know, what side is he going to come down on? Is he going to come down on the pro registration side along with Tony, or is he going to join the anti-registration movement led by Cap?
Right.
So I guess we will find out in the middle of next year.
Well, to stay on this theme.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield.
Movie Pilot brings us 10 things we might not have known about Captain America. Such as, number one, Captain America is older than Marvel Comics itself. Captain America was created back in May of 1941 by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. While technically Marvel did exist in the form of Timely Comics in 1939, the incarnation of the iconic comic book company as we know and love today didn't come to be until 1961.
And what were they known between Timely and Marvel?
Atlas Comics, if I remember right.
So, Captain America has actually been around through three companies.
Three companies, yeah.
Three companies: Timely, Atlas, and Marvel.
Yep. Number two, Captain America played a part in convincing America to fight in World War II. Yeah, we all know our involvement didn't occur until December 7th, 1941, with the bombing of Pearl Harbor. But Cap was socking good old Adolf on the jaw way back in May of the same year.
So, you think that was used as propaganda to try to you know, sway the opinion?
Probably.
It may not have been intentionally used as such. But.
Yeah. Well, apparently it did get attention because the first issue, talking 1941, first issue sold over 1 million copies.
Now, in 1941, that to me means a whole lot more than 2015 selling 1 million copies.
Yeah, for a 10-cent book, 1 million copies.
And try to find one of those now.
Yeah.
Well, you can find them now, but they will cost you significantly more than 10 cents.
Oh, yeah. Number three, the title of Captain America has been held by 14 people.
I knew that there had been more than one, and we discussed it on an earlier edition of this show when we were talking about Peter Parker versus Miles Morales as Spider-Man.
Right. Obviously, Steve Rogers.
Yes.
And then when he was presumed dead, the government appointed William Naslund, and followed by...
Now, this is the first time, because he's been declared dead more than once.
Following Naslund's death, Jeffrey Mace. After Steve Rogers is killed in the events of Civil War,
Spoiler alert.
Bucky becomes the next... Wait, is this right?
I think so.
Yes. At the time, who was then called the Winter Soldier, assumed the role until his apparent death at the hands of Sin, Red Skull's daughter. Others who have carried the torch, Isaiah Bradley, the African-American Cap in World War II and grandfather to the Patriot. So, beat Sam Wilson to the punch.
Well, there you go. But now we have to include Sam Wilson.
True. William Burnside, who went insane due to a faulty super soldier serum. Bob Russo, who only fought as Cap once. Scar Turpin, who, much like Russo, only fought as Cap once. Roscoe Simmons, who was killed by the Red Skull. Clint Barton, Hawkeye, for one night after Rogers' death and shortly before Barnes took the role. John Walker, appointed Captain America when Rogers resigned the title, costume, and shield. And then Dave Rickford, who took over for Cap briefly while Cap was head of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then, of course, Steve Wilson. Number four, Captain America was once director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Number five, Invisible S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, it's been broken a few times. Yeah. Six to be precise, and those times are Dr. Doom while possessing Beyonder's powers, Thanos with the power of the Infinity Gauntlet.
I remember that.
Molecule Man, who disassembled the shield by molecules. The Serpent, Odin's evil brother who killed Thor. And bonus, but not confirmed, that Ultron broke the shield in Age of Ultron comic storyline. Maybe in the movie as well.
Well, we have seen promo pictures of a cracked shield.
True. Number six, Steve Rogers has lost his peak human abilities a few times as well. Number seven, Captain America led a joint force consisting of the Avengers and the Justice League.
Going back to the Marvel versus DC crossover event, where they were combining superheroes as part of the Amalgam Universe.
Yes.
Captain America and Superman were combined to form Super Soldier.
Yep.
Which basically it was almost like a flying Captain America, but his shield was Superman's icon.
Right. Number eight, very few people have used Cap's shield properly. The list who did. This list does not include alternate realities or anyone who used replicas of the shield. Superman during the Justice League Avengers crossover. Bucky Barnes the first time as Captain America. Clint Barton, aka Hawkeye, in a trial to see if he could become Captain America. John Walker, Simon Williams, who's Wonder Man. And Sam Wilson, the current current Cap. And of course, we know him as Falcon.
Also, that list should include Vance Astro from the original lineup of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Let's see, this is where we find flaws with the article.
Yes.
Now, we've already caught a couple already, so...
Unless you want to consider the 31st century timeline to be an alternate reality.
I think they do consider that an alternate reality at the moment.
But there you go.
Number nine, there is a evil Captain America created by Hydra named Militant. And then the last one is, Captain America is worthy to wield Mjolnir. I know I just mispronounced that.
Mjolnir. Mjolnir. Say it with me. Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
See? You got it. You got it.
So
now you just got to say, you are the first, the best, this way.
So there we have it. Unfortunately, he's not worthy enough in the movie to wield it.
Yet.
So. Yet.
I would love to see that happen.
So
you know what else? You know what else I would like to see happen?
What's that?
Which I know we'll see eventually, I'm sure. Who is Star-Lord's dad?
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? Well, Comic Book Resources have put out what they consider to be five potential dads. I mean, this is almost sounding like an episode of Maury Povich. You are the father. Now, I look at this article, and I'm thinking some of these sound pretty good. Some of them are at least entertaining, and some of them, well, bless their hearts. One of them would be Star Fox, who is Thanos' brother in the comics. He's an Eternal of Titan. He's also known as Eros, the God of Love. So being the God of Love, yes, he is going to get around... And he is going to shag nasty all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes to Earth and he goes, oh, well, Meredith, you're kind of cute. You know, 9 months later, where is he? He's gone off somewhere else. But that, of course, would make Gamora Star-Lord's cousin, which kind of makes those little almost kissing scenes kind of, yeah, just a little creepy. But in the movies, she is adopted. So, now, another particular, potential is Thanos himself. And, of course, then we go into, the whole Gamora and Star-Lord's, scenes a little bit more awkward. It could tie in to the Infinity War that's coming up, Phase 3. Another possibility would be Drax himself, which I think that one's kind of reaching a little bit because it's almost like the, oh, well, we came across each other as, because of the wrinkles of fate. Well, maybe not. One of my favorites out of this would be the Stranger. Now, if you've never heard of this guy, he is a cosmic villain, but he's not so much a villain so much as he is kind of an anti-hero. He's not a villain in the same sense as Red Skull or Doctor Doom. He's just kind of like the, I'm super massively powerful, I'm going to do whatever the heck I want, and you're not going to stand in my way. In the comics, he knows the Collector, so that kind of ties him in a little bit there. And, He's known for visiting Earth as well. Another that they're talking about would be Adam Warlock. You've seen his cocoon in Guardians. You've seen the cocoon in Thor: The Dark World. So they're hinting pretty strongly that he is going to show up at some point. Now, Warlock has had cosmic awareness. He also possesses the Soul Gem in the comics, another one of the Infinity Stones. So he could show up in the Infinity War as well. And let's see. There's also Captain Marvel, who is Kree to begin with. He's the original Captain Marvel. It's like the inspiration, well, the predecessor rather than the inspiration of Carol Danvers' Captain Marvel. And finally, there would be Maximus the Mad, who is the brother of the Inhuman King Black Bolt. So that could be interesting as you're bringing in Inhumans as well.
Right.
And if you're bringing in Inhumans, and this to me is the weakest of all the potentials, Skye's father from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm sorry, your answer must be in the form of a question, but thank you for playing.
So there you go. It could be that, there is possibilities for that because, you know, Quill is definitely not entirely human.
Right.
That much has been proven. Skye's dad, he is not entirely human either. They've never come out and said it, but we pretty much know.
Right.
This could tie in Inhumans. This could tie in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It could tie in a lot of things.
It could tie in a lot of things if he was. But there's still the glaring question of how would Skye's father know intergalactic mercenaries? And also, if Skye's father was on Earth, why would he need outer space mercenaries to bring Quill to him?
True.
So I reject that possibility and add in my own that Quill is actually the son of the Watcher.
Rejection. How I missed you.
The Watcher, huh?
The Watcher. That's why he would get somebody else to go get him, because he does not interfere directly. He also would not really want his involvement known regardless. And he does kind of fit in with Yondu's description of him.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Mike and Eric here on Sorcerer Radio and the Weeby Geeks Network. And we'll be right back.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the geek revolution. Want to know more?
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness.
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and find new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at meetthemagic. Proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Woohoo! That was scary. Can we go again?
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Getting ready for your next visit to Walt Disney World? Well, why not check out Disney Trip Tips Fridays at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites from the parks, resorts, movies, and TV, and the tips that the family and I have used on our many visits to Walt Disney World. And if you have any tips or photos you'd like to share, you can post them at the Disney Trip Tips Facebook page. You can even follow me on Twitter at Disney Trip Tips. Disney Trip Tips on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long. SR Sounds.
Hi, I'm Tony.
And I'm Krista. Tune into our show, Stars and Motor Cars, Saturday afternoons at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio.
Every week you'll hear us chat with Disney legends, Imagineers, and actors like Pat Carroll, the voice of Ursula.
And I help them.
Yes, I do.
Disney legend and Imagineer Bob Gurr.
Pedro Hare, the voice of Belle.
Feast! Disney Resort TV's Stacey J. Oswald.
And author Ridley Pearson.
And Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy.
Something wrong here.
And so many more. You'll also hear your favorite Disney Parks Parade music.
Follow us on Twitter at Disney Podcaster and on Facebook.com/Disney Parks Podcast.
To get even more Disney fun, download our sister show, the Disney Parks Podcast, on iTunes. Tune in to Stars and Motor Cars, presented by the Disney Parks Podcast. Saturday afternoons at 6 p.m. Eastern,
3 p.m. Pacific, only on Sorcerer Radio.
SRSounds.com.
So welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio and the Weeby Geeks Network. Spider-Man casting. Yeah, we talked about this last week. We talked about it the week before with the Sony Marvel Studios partnering. Apparently Marvel has found, not Sony, Marvel has found its next web-slinger.
Well, if you believe the Cinema Blend article on cinemablend.com, of course, they believe that Marvel may have found him. This would be a young man by the name of Sam Strike. He's not known very well over here in the U.S., but he is known in England, the United Kingdom, from a teen soap drama called EastEnders. And he came out with a tweet back on the 9th where he says, this is not him. This is his manager, actually. Tweeted out, says, many questions sent on my last tweet about Sam Strike. He has been offered the lead role in a very big U.S. film. And info soon. Now, some people may ask, you know, why does that make you think that he's going to be Spider-Man? It is a reach, but first of all, he has the look.
Right.
He has the look that, you know, you could have a Peter Parker. Plus, he's not a household name over here.
Right.
So this is something like, you know, like the Andrew Garfield, or, well, you can't really say that about Tobey Maguire because he was, you know, fairly well known. But he also has sent out, you know, Sam has sent out some tweets that would hint at it. He said, started at the gym yesterday in prep for a quote unquote cheeky new role I'd love to tell you about, but I can't. He's also publicly came out chiming in on the Miles Morales Spider-Man idea. He says, I love the Miles Morales Spider-Man series, but I don't think the movies are ready for him yet. Spider-Man is still incomplete. Next time. He's within the age range that Marvel is looking for. So, yeah, he's a solid candidate. If he's not the choice, he's got to be on the short list.
Right. Well, there is an update to the story. According to The Wrap, the role that Sam Strike is currently in talks for the lead part is for the upcoming Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequel.
Okay.
So...
for a lead role.
For a lead role.
Lead role. That, I think that's the key words right there. Lead role. Spider-Man is not going to be a, let's just go ahead and call it, is not going to be a lead role in Captain America Civil War.
Right, but will be after that with Sony.
Assuming okay. They don't cast somebody else.
That's okay. I'm just glad he's not a hack actor, that he is a cut above the rest.
Oh, and remind me again why I signed up for this show.
Your puns are even worse than mine, dude.
Because you like
that's saying something.
Because you like to ask questions.
I do like to ask questions. Don't think I got an axe to grind with you on that one.
So, we'll bury the hatchet now.
Okay, please.
We haven't talked much Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we're going to declassify who you really are. I believe that was this last week's episode.
Mm-hmm. That was this past Tuesday's episode.
So
you did watch it, right?
I did watch it. So that, spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Did I do that right?
That's 1-0.
Okay.
I don't know where my others went.
So if you're not into spoiler alerts, you don't want to find out because you've like recorded it on DVR or something and you really don't want to watch it until some other time, you might want to turn your voice down, your volume down, because we're going to talk about it.
Spoiler alert.
So, with that, I thought it was an interesting episode. Definitely confirmed the whole Kree. It was interesting seeing Lady Sif come in with memory wiped, so to speak. And then when she talks about the Kree, oh, they've never made it to this planet. And then the Kree...
surprise!
And the Kree gentleman goes, well, no, we have. More aggressive form of the Kree have made it here. And they were meant to be more of the warriors of Kree. It's like, okay... but it just,
it was Kree Special Ops is what it was.
But it did help set up Inhumans even more because
it was
great. It was a great episode.
It was. And it wasn't just a great episode from that perspective because the cat is out of the bag with Sky.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows she has powers now. And not everybody is happy about that.
Right. And of course, what's the word that begins with a D that they called the
Obliques? Diviner.
The Diviners.
Yeah.
Apparently, there was a crate with more Diviners in it.
Half a dozen.
And they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Houston, we have a problem.
Okay. We know that we have pretty much accounted for at least three of them.
Right.
There is the one that we saw Hydra with that Whitehall had.
Right.
And that was used to transform Sky and Reyna. Okay.
Correct.
There is the one that Gordon has because you saw him pick it up before he talks to somebody on the phone.
Right.
You assume that is, there was one used to transform Gordon
back along in the 80s, with, yeah.
Yeah, back in the 80s, we saw him like teleporting all over the place and like not having a good time of it, and there being Sky's mom there, you know, talking him down. So you believe there's one in the possession of whoever Gordon was talking to on the phone?
Right.
So, you know, there are three, four that we have been accounted for, which means there are two more left.
Yep. Well, we also see a whole interesting new twist with Bobby and Mac.
Oh, God.
And then we also see a little maybe start of a civil war or mutiny after finding out what Sky really is and what's happening.
Can I just go ahead and say right now,
Go ahead.
I'm already tired of traitors in the inner circle story arcs.
I agree.
It was good when Ward and Garrett, and it seemed like every third person in S.H.I.E.L.D. was Hydra, but now you have Bobby and Mac, who they say they're not Hydra, and they use that as rationalizations, like, you know, hey, this is, you know, we're not doing this for that reason, but we're still going to do something that people are not going to like.
Right.
So the question becomes, who are they working for then?
This is true.
We're going to find out pretty soon, because, you know, the way that Mac put the sleeper hold on Hunter, you know, they can't, he's going to come back conscious sometime.
Oh yeah.
And they can't, like, you know, they can't just, like, truss him up in a steamer trunk and leave him in a hotel lobby or something.
Well, they could.
Well, they could. Nothing they do short of killing him is going to keep him away for long.
Right. There were quite a few Easter eggs in this episode. One, when Sif initially says she's looking for Carva, which many thought this meant Carva Tessera, a brief Centurion character in the comics. Of course, we later discover Carva is actually the Kree word for keys.
Okay.
There are only 7 species that require nitrogen to breathe, non-humanoid. However, the Kree are the only one who could use this tech to disguise their already blue skin.
I find a little bit of issue with that.
Okay.
Mainly because the atmosphere that we breathe is predominantly nitrogen.
Right.
It's like 70 something percent nitrogen and like 21% oxygen.
Right.
So, we can breathe pure oxygen. The science is screaming red flag on me on this one.
One of the big ones was when Lady Sif is talking about Thor while in the lack of memory stage.
Yeah.
She gets all hot and bothered.
Yeah, she... that was one of the things I liked about that episode. Okay, there are plenty of things I liked about that episode, but one of the things I particularly liked was she doesn't remember who he is. She doesn't know why she feels that way, but she smiles like a teenage girl. It's kind of like, does he like me? I think he likes me. Find out if he likes me, because I really hope he does.
Right, right. So, well, that's our recap of S.H.I.E.L.D., this last week's episode.
One last thing.
What's up?
Coulson's gun
has
a name. They have named the gun. They have named it Bambino.
Bambino,
because he's... When things go down with the Kree, you know, you hear Fitz going, Coulson going, Fitz, we need Bambino.
Yeah.
And what's the weapon that actually takes the Kree down? Coulson's gun.
Yeah. So
I think that, yes, we must know more about this Bambino.
Oh, yeah.
So now that we've done our wrap up of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we go on to something that's a little bit smaller than the small screen. It would be Little Marvels. These have appeared on variant covers, but they now have their own series. Scotty Young, who has done, you know, quite a few things. I think Rocket Raccoon. He's been working on that.
Yeah,
he's the one behind this. He says, since I started doing all the Little Marvel covers, I was always saying we should do a series with them at some point. I said, then one day the editors were like, hey, you want to do that series you're always bugging us about? And he said, yep, I want to do it. One day they brought it to him. Let's see. They have been they've been over 100 covers so far.
Right.
But now they have the Little Marvels version of Avengers versus X-Men.
Yes.
He says, the Avengers fight the X-Men. Yeah, that's about it. He says, quote, I just like the idea of these two groups being at odds with each other at all times. It's like when you and your friends had a clubhouse and your rivals had one a few streets over. It's all about whose crew is the best, except the kids in my story shoot eye lasers and can summon demons from limbo. He said, this is definitely all ages and hopefully humorous. I can't imagine how anyone would find this otherwise. He said, it's a bunch of ornery kids causing trouble and fighting each other. Me and my 5-year-old son locked ourselves in a room with episodes of our favorite cartoons, and I started working. Baxter, apparently that's his son, Baxter would jump around while laughing and playing while I soaked it all in to write the series. It was a lot of fun to create like that. Hopefully the tone pulls through. Now, the main cast of this is going to be Wolverine, Colossus, Cyclops, Storm, Iceman, Beast, and Magic for the X-Men, whereas for the Avengers, you have Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Hulk, Thor, and Scarlet Witch.
Yep.
And then he says, and then two new characters get the X-Men and Avengers all versus-y. Now, I did not make that word up. He did. He said, but you'll still see as many characters from the Marvel Universe as I can cram in there. Everyone is invited to this party.
Cool. Well, speaking of parties, I have a funny feeling the maker himself has been listening to the show.
Well, he should be.
Because George Lucas has been confirmed sighting at Midtown Comics in New York buying the Star Wars titles. Well, okay, yeah, he owns the property, but I don't think he...
Not anymore.
Okay, he's the creator of the property.
Yes.
But I don't know if he would really been buying the books unless he heard them on our new Comic Book Day picks here on Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Well, I wonder what he needs to hear about for this coming week.
I don't know. Let's get right into it. So it is new comic book picks for Wednesday, the 18th of March, 2015. And what do you have as your first book?
Well, Mike and George, if you're listening, I have Princess Leia number 2. When Princess Leia Organa was captured by the Empire as a rebel spy, George, you know this already, she never betrayed her convictions, even in the face of the complete destruction of her home world of Alderaan. She was looking for love in Alderaan places. When her rescue came, she grabbed a blaster and joined the fight, escaping back to the Rebel Alliance and helping strike the biggest blow against the Empire. Though, of course, that would be the destruction of the Death Star. But in the aftermath of that victory, the question remains, what is a princess without a world? Writer Mark Waid, of fame of Daredevil and S.H.I.E.L.D. and few others, and artist Terry Dodson from the Avengers and X-Men Axis and the Uncanny X-Men, bring us a story of Leia's quest to help her people and find her place in the galaxy.
Awesome. My first pick of the week is going to be Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier number 6. It's written by Alice Cott. Imagine war. Mersey Bow approaches Civil War. It's first in over 700 years. Is Winter Soldier the catalyst? Bucky Barnes fights for his life. Crossbones sets the plan in motion. Quake. And Ventolin join forces. The other Bucky Barnes came to the 616 part of the multiverse to help, but did the man who helped end the war just cause it in another universe?
That would be kind of awkward.
Yes, it would.
Okay. I tell you what else would be awkward. That would be Hulk number 13. Not awkward in and of itself, but awkward because it's guest starring Deadpool, and we know nothing good will come of this.
Right.
Doc Green hires Deadpool for a very sensitive mission. Is he more trouble than he's worth? An unexpected person voices concern over Doc Green's anti-gamma campaign. Did we mention Deadpool on the cover?
We did.
Written by Jerry Duggan and penciled by Mark Bagley. Love this guy's pencils.
My second pick is The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 3. Time is running out, and the only way for Squirrel Girl to stop Galactus is to get to the moon. You know, somehow. Seeing the unveiling of Squirrel Girl's new flying squirrel suit that she maybe borrowed from Iron Man. Also, the final face-off with Galactus on the moon.
Squirrel Girl versus Galactus.
Nuts.
This should be a short fight.
I don't know. That was a little squirrely.
Yeah. Well, I got nothing for that. It's an off week. Your puns are definitely worse than mine this week. All right. My final pick for the week is Wolverine's number 11. Romance is brewing between X-23 and, well, you'll have to read it to find out. But is it unrequited or unwise for heroes to get tangled in love? The battle inside the man known as Shogun is now risking the lives of his teammates and friends. Looks like evil may prevail. What does that mean for the overall mission at hand? Phantomel and Culpepper have been fighting tooth and claw for an unknown benefactor, risking their lives for everything. But who are they risking it all for? Guess we'll just have to find out.
Cool.
Hang on to them hats and glasses, because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Can only be talking my number three pick for the week. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And I forgot to make sure I had Thunderstruck from AC/DC. So, yeah, when we thinned out the playback, I removed that. So I'm going to have to remember that for next month.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
So...
Definitely.
I actually have to do that whole bit again with Thunderstruck underneath just to help out. So the newest 5-issue miniseries in the Disney Kingdom's line, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, number one, debuts. Millions of fans have climbed aboard the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Hang on to them hats and glasses, because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
And now Marvel hurdles you through the mists of time to reveal the never-before-told saga of how the dangerous gold mine of Big Thunder Mountain became the haunted legend it is today.
Malevolent?
Malevolent. God, where would I be without you?
Probably in bed asleep.
Or digging deep, one or the other.
Yeah, there you go.
Mine owner, Barnabas T. Billion, is determined to shelter his teen daughter, Abigail, from the dangers of the Wild West. But this brave young hero has other ideas, which include robbing her own father's mine as a masked bandit, earthquakes, floods. See? The sky's there, too. Earthquakes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. How do we know this is not just like... an alternative version of Sky.
Ah, this is true, too. Dynamite chewing goats. What a blast, man. Dynamite chewing ghosts. Dinner served. Can the Denizens of Rainbow Ridge survive the clash between mankind's greed and nature's fury? And what is the protective power that dwells deep within the mysterious mountain? Surprises await you in the latest Disney Kingdom saga by the acclaimed duo of Dennis Hopeless and Ty Walker. So, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, oh, I'm subscribing to that too.
So, where can they find you when you're not on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad? Or on Big Thunder Mountain?
They can find me online on Twitter at Uncle Servo.
You can find us at Marvel Geeks. Anytime you guys want to ask us a question or leave us a comment, feel free to call the Secret Lair at 321-219-8227. That does not necessarily give us... The area code does not necessarily say we are in Florida, but we could be. Also, too, listen to us every week here on Sorcerer Radio at 8 o'clock. Catch us at 6:16 in the morning on Weeby Geeks Network as the show drops as a podcast. Any last thoughts, comments?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Then, on that note, Jarvis, if you would.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope, just time to go dark. We'll be right back.
this has been a Weeby Geeks production.